This is Cincinnati Edition on 91.7 WVXU. I'm Mark Haney. In about 15 minutes, Ann Thompson tells us about the digital afterlife. And at 2:40, we'll be joining the takeaway for coverage of the president's speech at the 50th anniversary of the March on Washington. And meantime, we continue our conversation about Cincinnati's historic cemeteries with Phil Nuxall, Kevin Grace, and Howard Wilkinson. You can join the discussion at 513-419-7100. You can email talk at wvxu.org, or you can find us on Facebook or Twitter. Phil, how big is Spring Grove? How many acres? And how's that compared to, a Hamilton County park?
Well, Spring Grove Cemetery and Arboretum is the nation's second largest cemetery. A lot of people find that hard to believe, but I've done the homework. I've called every large cemetery in the nation to confirm that. We have over 733 acres, but the interesting part about that is that only over 400 acres is developed. And I get the question all the time, well, is Spring Grove filled up? Is there any room? And I have to kind of laugh and tell them that the experts, I'm not sure who the experts are, but I've been told the experts have determined that it will take between 350 and 500 years before Spring Grove is
right?
filled up.
Wow.
Yeah, that's like,
amazing.
Talk about planning.
So there's still room for us, though.
Yeah, there's still room.
Not yet.
Yeah, and the largest cemetery, because every time I tell people that we're the second largest, they want to know, well, then what's bigger?
Right.
And that would be Rose Hill Cemetery in Whittier, California, and they have a little over 1,000 acres, I believe. And then the third largest is right next door in Indianapolis, Crown Hill Cemetery.
What do you do tours now, right?
Oh, I mean, do we ever, yeah.
What do you get from people who come on these tours? What do they want to see? What are they most interested in? What strikes them the most, do you think?
Howard, that's everybody wants to know pretty much a little bit about everything. They're very curious about Civil War history. Mm-hmm. If we have a horticulture group, of course, they want to know about the Arboretum part of the cemetery. Oh, boy, and it makes a difference if the group or the person is local, if they're from this area. They're going to ask questions like, we always get the question, is Ruth Lyons here?
Yeah.
And she is not. She's, I believe, she's in the crematorium, I think. But we do have a lot of notables. Bob Braun, people always want to know if he's there. On and on and on. So it really depends on where the person is from.
Was not the person who the actor who played Superman?
George Reeves.
George Reeves.
Okay, here's another.
Was he not buried there at some point?
You would think so with all the talk about the connection to Spring Grove. Here's the actual story.
Okay.
When George Reeves, the actor, died, and they still don't know if it was suicide, if he was murdered.
Mm-hmm.
When he died, his mother, who was living out in Hollywood nearby, she ordered that his body be flown to Cincinnati, where we did keep the body in the White Pine Chapel for a while. While the body was being, so to speak, kept on ice, she sent a telegram. And in the telegram, we still have the original telegram, she asked for permission to have a private mausoleum built for, this is exactly how she had it in the telegram, for my son Superman. She didn't say George. She said Superman.
Is that right?
I thought that was very interesting.
Yeah.
And then a few days later, there was a response from Spring Grove stating that there was not enough room. And if you've been on the family lot, you'll see there's not enough room for a private family mausoleum. Okay, why? What's the connection with Cincinnati?
Mm-hmm.
His mother's parents are buried in Spring Grove. So Superman's maternal grandparents are buried in Spring Grove.
It's a different
anyway,
form of the 6 degrees of separation.
Oh, totally. Oh, my God. We were just talking about that. It goes
on
and on.
That mystery because I'd heard that story many times.
Yeah. She eventually had his body cremated here at the Hillside Chapel or crematorium, and then the ashes were sent back to Hollywood. She kept them in an urn on her baby grand piano, and then eventually he ended up in, a cemetery in Pasadena, California.
Yeah.
So he visited, but he didn't stay.
He didn't stay. Okay.
Dang.
513-419-7100 if you'd like to join the conversation. Let's talk to Samantha from West End. Hi, Samantha.
Hi, Samantha.
Hi.
What's your question or comment?
I wanted to share a quick story about something that happened to me while I was actually taking a class at Spring Grove for horticulture at UC Dab, newly brought horticulture into the college.
With Mr. Smith, the wonderful. Yeah, the best.
He's fantastic. And so after the course was over on the last day, I went up to Mr. Smith and I told him that the last time I had seen my great-great, maybe three grades, grandfather who came straight to Cincinnati from Germany. And the last time I had visited his grave, I was about 10 years old, and it was grown over by a bush. So I thought it was fitting, since I was at the cemetery in a horticulture class, that maybe he could have someone take me out there. So he did, and we drove out, and as soon as I got out of the car, I just knew somehow exactly where it was. That's the bush, you know. And they said, okay, well, they got out the metal detector, and sure enough, it was under that very same bush that I remembered, and we started hacking away at it. And
ooh, I love that.
You know, clearing the bush off of his, you know, it's a tiny little stone. It wasn't raised or anything. And we found him. And then I thought, wow, this is great. And I wonder who was his wife, right? Because I have not heard anything about her. And obviously, I wouldn't be here.
Right.
You know, if there wasn't a woman involved. So
have you checked the records at Spring Grove?
Well, so here's why. I looked around and all of the other stones had the woman was on the right. So we started cutting away at this bush and sweeping away, and sure enough, I found her to the right of the stone, and no one in my family had ever heard of her. So then they were all able, my father and my uncles were able to then go out and make a visit and see her. So it was a very cool kind of Indiana Jones.
Yeah. Oh, that's what I love about the place.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so
Samantha.
I just wanted to share that because it's really just always been a special place to me, and that was just a cool moment, and I just like to share it with folks. So
Samantha, are you
encourage them to get out and dig.
Are you still sleuthing to find out who that woman was?
You know, well, shoot. I was hoping that my parents are retired. They have more time than I.
It does take time.
I was hoping that someone else in the family would take that on, but I don't think anyone was as excited as I was to find that it's hard to trace the female side.
When you least expect, you'll find out.
It's
usually how it goes.
The other cool thing is that she had this name before our last name, Brockfield, but she had this other name. It was Bertha Kuhl, K-U-H-L, Brockfield. So that's a nice clue to have.
Yes, absolutely.
Is her, maybe that was her maiden name, I'm not sure. But
don't give up.
Yeah,
thank you.
Thanks,
Samantha.
Thank you for your
call. We appreciate it. Let's talk to Kathy from Madisonville. Hi, Kathy.
Hi.
Hi, Kathy.
What's your question today?
Well, I have a record saying that I saw my second great-grandfather's will that was probated here in Cincinnati in 1859, but I can't find him buried anywhere. How do I go about finding him?
Sounds like it could be a Kevin question.
That's a tough one.
Question for Kevin.
Yeah, it is tough.
Spring Grove, of course, has excellent burial records, and while at the University of Cincinnati we have all the early death records, the earliest one available is 1865. So that kind of cancels that out. If you happen to know what religious denomination he was, often church records in Cincinnati will still exist.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, he was Catholic. Ooh. And I know his wife was buried in 1893 in St. Joe's, but there's no record in St. Joe's, and I couldn't find any record in Spring Grove, so I just sort of...
Okay, well, here's what you do then. You give us a call up at UC. We've digitized all those records, but the death records indicate the cemetery a person is buried in. So with the woman, with that date of the 1890s, chances are we would have a death record for her, and it would indicate the cemetery, as well
right.
as the funeral home that handled the event or event. That's a terrible thing to say, isn't it?
right.
Handled the burial. And sometimes those funeral homes are still around, too, with records.
Okay. I think she was it Moleville or Molehill no. or I can't remember how it's pronounced. Or
oh, the Molehill funeral home?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, Kathy, thank you very much for your question. We appreciate it.
And, thank you.
It brings up a good point here, Kevin. What's a good starting point? You're trying to do research on history, family history. Where can you start?
Oh, well, when you do any sort of genealogy, you always start with yourself. And then you work back and you start with census records, parents' marriage records, or whatever. The public library downtown is one of the best in the nation at helping people with genealogy research. We have a number of things at the university because of our collection of local government records. But, for instance, we have the wills for Hamilton County from 1791 through 1901. We've got these early Cincinnati birth and death records. We've got citizenship records. But so there's a variety of sources. One thing we do like to work with is people like Phil at Spring Grove because it's a business, but they take such good care of their records and make them so available to the general public that it's a wonderful resource. So I guess long story short here, as Phil said earlier, is to start with yourself, work back, and as soon as you get stuck, give us a call or give the public library a call.
Great. I personally use if you're looking for someone that's the least bit notable, there's a site called Find a Grave, findagrave.com.
Yeah.
I believe that's really I highly recommend that one. Sometimes they'll have photographs of the actual, you know, if it's a monument or a stone, and occasionally you'll have a photograph of the actual person, but Find a Grave is very popular.
Yeah, actually, when I was doing research on Ezra Charles, I used Find a Grave, and it showed up in Chicago with the picture of his gravestone and everything else.
Yeah.
So it's a wonderful resource.
Kevin, how important is it to preserve these cemeteries and the burial records associated with them, not just out of respect for the dead, but as historical sources?
It's incredibly essential. And, you know, Spring Grove, a cemetery like that, does an excellent job. But we ran into a situation a few weeks ago where a film company out in L.A. is doing a documentary on a Cincinnati physician in the late 1800s who was doing experimental brain surgery. And he did it on this young Irish immigrant maid who was had some other problems, but she subsequently died. And they wanted to know about her grave and where she was buried. And I won't name the cemetery, but my wife and I went out there to photograph it to give to this film company to use. And it was all grown over. It was absolutely impossible to find anything. And, you know, it's a piece of history that they've lost. So if you can find your grandfather under a bush, by all means, take that bush away.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Phil, Kevin, and Howard, thank you so much for joining me this afternoon. Phil Nuxall, historian, author, and tour coordinator at Spring Grove Cemetery and Arboretum. Kevin Grace, University of Cincinnati Archives and Rare Books Head Library, or Rare Books, that's a tongue twister. Rare Books Library Head Archivist and WVXU reporter Howard Wilkinson. And you can see the complete WVXU Cemetery series on our website, WVXU.org.